Thank you and be seated, please. Good morning, I'm John Byers, and what a joy it is to welcome you to worship at Conyers First United Methodist Church, especially if you are a guest in our presence. Our prayer today is that you will feel the hospitality of Jesus Christ through our great people, and that this will be a place for you where you can tap into your untapped spiritual potential, because we believe that God has placed within all of us the capacity to live a life that is worthy of the Lord. And our prayer is that a part of this community, you can discover why you're really here, what your ultimate purpose is, why God made you the person that you are. It'd mean a lot to me personally if you'd find the white connection card in your worship folder and simply let us know of your presence, especially if you're a guest, because we just want to connect with you and let you know of our appreciation for your presence today. If you'll fill it out and hold on to it at the end of the service, I'll direct your attention to the back side. So many great things happening in the life of our church. Can I tell you about a few that have happened this last week? May I tell you a few? Because of your faithfulness to Christ in this church, with your prayers, with your support, with your volunteer spirit, we had, I think, about 170 kids on this campus last week for Vacation Bible School. And what was even better than that is there were more than 70 volunteers. You know, that wasn't quite a 2-to-1 ratio, but that's tremendous volunteerism. And I believe it's because you see the value of ministry to children and youth, and you value the leadership of Mr. Stanley and Miss Renee. And I want to say thank you for making it possible for 170 or so young boys and girls to hear the love of God in Jesus Christ through this place. Now, while they were doing that here, some of our older youth were at Burt Adams Scout Reservation, not far from here. And our scout troop, Troop 354, won the Honor Troop of the Summer, of the Week, at Burt Adams. And I am grateful for the outreach that this church has to young families and to developing women and men through our scouting ministry. Hey, you made that possible because you believe in the promise of this church. And I want to say thank you to you for your volunteerism and for your special support. Some other great things fixing to happen in the life of our church: a new study coming up at the end of the month, and a study book is being provided, and they're $5, and they're available after worship today. And there's more information in the worship folder. I'd like for you to get up to speed about this new series based on the Lord's Prayer and how this 40-day series can really transform and encourage your life in Jesus Christ. Now, here's something very serious. We are in a time of some challenging economic circumstances. Are you aware that we are one of the very few churches in all of Rockdale County who has the strength and capacity to have full-time children's ministry and full-time youth ministry? Did you know that? One of the very few churches that have full-time staff people whose focus is on our young people. I don't take that for granted, and that does not come easily. That comes because you believe in the power of the church as God's redeeming agent in society. And I want us to pray about our youth and children's ministry and then give you an opportunity to respond to God's goodness in your life by making an investment through your morning offering in ensuring that we have strong ministries for the church of today. Starting, well, there was one right here that he just left. The church of today experiencing the love of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we come with confidence and joy as your chosen children, as your chosen people, because you have called us by the blood of Christ to a life of forgiveness, of restoration and redemption. You've called us to shine that light of grace and hope in a community that is genuinely hurting, where relationships are falling apart, where men and women are falling victim to the lower nature of life, who are tripping and finding themselves in all kinds of difficult circumstances. God, we look about us and we realize that people are challenged by their finances, challenged by their relationships, challenged by their work setting. God, this is a place, your place of refuge and strength and hope and restoration, of forgiveness and grace and a new start. God, today we're especially praying for the children's ministry and youth ministry of Conyers First, because we believe that boys and girls are worth investing in. young men and women are worth shaping in the name and spirit of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your provision that has brought us to this place and pray you would continue to provide that lives might be strengthened and changed. God, we pray for your church that we would be focused on lifting high the cross of Christ and believing that when we do, He will call all people to Himself. God, as a church, we look about us and we see so much pain and hurt, and we intercede for the needs of the world, for Syria and all places in the world where men and women are being slaughtered by their own government, consumed by their own countrymen. God, it is so easy to give up on hope, to surrender the Middle East. God, we pray with passion the prayer of the angels, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And let that peace begin with us, in our household, in our schools, in our office, that we might be examples of what it's like to really be redeemed and changed. God, I thank you for every person that's here today and wherever they find themselves on the journey of life, whether on the mountaintop of really great experience with you this week or really down in the pit having fallen and betrayed others, betrayed themselves. God, I pray this would be an uplifting day, a day of restoration and hope, a day of new beginnings. God, we offer our prayers today with the confidence that you are with us always. And so with the joy of children who know Christ as Savior, we pray as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I give not because I have to give, but because I want to give, to show my loyalty to Christ and the kingdom of God. I give not because I have to, but because I want to make an investment in the souls of other people, and especially the souls of young people. As our ushers come forward, I'd like to invite you to choose to make an offering to God as a way of thanking Him for the blessings of your life and extending those blessings to others. Amen. And God, we thank you for the air of your Holy Spirit that is in this place now. Open our minds to hear your word. Open our minds that our hearts might be enlarged in the name and spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hey, babe, I'm going to pick up the girls.
All right, love you. Said I love you.
Love you too.
You ever do that? You ever tell someone that you love them and you make sure that they say it back? I don't know what it is. I guess sometimes we just need to know where we stand with people. But hasn't it always been that way? I mean, think about it. When we were children, there was a 100% guaranteed reliable method that we used to find out whether or not someone liked us. I mean, it stood the test of time for centuries, and every kid on the planet knew it. You know what I'm talking about? The check the box note. And if you were smart, you would have your best friend to act as courier and then sit there in your seat and wait nervously for the response. Now I have a confession to make. Most children grow out of the check the box phase by middle school. But me, I gave my last check the box yes or no note when I was 27 years old. Now before you judge me, just listen to my story. It was a Sunday morning and there I was at church. While everyone else was singing, all I could do was think about the beautiful lady who was just sitting three seats down from me. I had known her for a few months and we had talked just how you doing and what's up, that kind of stuff. But I wanted more and I just had to know if she felt the same way. So while everyone else was listening to the pastor, I sat there strategizing the best way to find out how she felt. And then it hit me. So I grabbed an offering envelope and one of those pencils that are only used in church and golf carts, and I wrote her the note. I folded the envelope and passed it. I was a nervous wreck. Never in the history of note passing had it taken so long for three people just to deliver a note. Stephanie opened it. She grinned and grabbed a pencil. And by the time I got her message back, my anxiety had taken a nosedive into clinical illness. And now, the moment of truth. So what did I do? I bought her something. And here we are 12 years later. I still have the note. I found it in a desk drawer just the other day. And it got me wondering, what does God think about me? I mean, let's be honest, on any given day, we are far less than likable. And wouldn't it be great on one of those days if we could just give a note like this to God, just to make sure that He likes us, that we're in His good graces? And then it hit me. He's already answered the question. He checked the box yes. How do I know this? It says it in His Word, His love letter to us. It says in Isaiah 49:16, it says that I have engraved your name on the palm of my hand. He checked yes. I mean, He was all in with His love. It was a definite yes. He even likes us, wants to have a relationship with us. So I don't know if you're ever going to get a love letter like this or if you see one in your near future, but this right here may be the greatest love letter that we could ever receive. He said yes.
Now, if you've ever experienced real love and you've had one of those note-passing engagements, if you have ever fallen in love and felt in your heart that indescribable something that happens when you realize that someone else has noticed you, and by their attention and their presence in your life has validated you as a person of worth, a person of value. Do you remember the feeling that came into your life? That sense of confidence, that sense of courage, knowing that someone else chooses to be with you? Someone else finds something in your peculiar personality worth exploring and getting to know better? Have you discovered in your life the incredible power of another person's love in your life? Now let's do a survey. Who's actually felt that? It may have been two people, three people. It's pretty sad. Maybe it's been so long since you felt that you can't remember. I love this illustration because you see this guy who is longing to be validated by someone else and know the power of that validation. This morning we're continuing an early summer series which I've entitled Paul's Passionate Prayers from Prison. Paul, the great teacher of the New Testament, Paul, the one that interprets in so many ways for us the character of God, is writing to us from behind bars, in chains, deprived. He's no longer available face to face that the power of his personality encouraged the early church. He's not able to communicate with his eyes or his voice. All he's able to do is communicate with his pen. I wonder if you were separated from those you love most and unable to see them or speak to them or be in their presence. You were only able to write a letter. What would your words of advice or encouragement or counsel be to give them hope for daily living? Last week we looked in the book of Ephesians to Paul's first letter from prison, and he assured believers that there is a supernatural power source in the universe that is capable of changing everything in our lives from the inside out. And Paul defines that power as God's strength exerted on us. A continuous action. God's strength, God's power exerting His influence in us. This morning we turn to Paul's second letter from prison and find that strength, that energy has a name. And the name is the love of God. Now, just as that note gave a sense of courage and confidence to that guy longing to know that his life was worth something in someone else's life, just as that note gave that guy the confidence to pursue that relationship, just as that note gave that guy a sense of value and validation in his life, the love of God living in our lives, God's power exerted, God's strength exerted, God's energy exerted in our lives, can do that for us, granting us this supernatural sense that my life has real value. I matter. It grants us a sense of supernatural confidence to live a life that is worthy of the Lord and to choose to be His hands and feet in a hurting world. The second prayer of Paul is found in Philippians chapter 1, and I'd like for you to turn there with me as I share the opening of the chapter and Paul's letter, Paul's prayer from prison. He begins by saying, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Now, his specific prayer for believers beginning in verse 9. "And this is my prayer, that your love," God's strength, God's power, God's energy exerted in and through us, "that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is the best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." I wonder, does anybody here ever struggle with their self-image? Have you ever wondered if your life really counts? Are you more than an accident of two parents that happened to get together? Are you more than a product of a few moments of heated passion? Does God have a real purpose for your life? I believe that the love of God given to us through Jesus Christ is that stable, certain power force that we can't earn, that we don't deserve, that we can't manufacture, that validates us and gives us the courage to press on. Now, I do not assume that everybody here has come to experience that love in Jesus Christ. I would like for each of you to come to know the warmth and the acceptance and the validation of the love of Jesus, kind of like the skit guy did in the video. But I want to focus today on the kind of life that that power can lead to for you. Paul is assuming that believers have come to know the love of God in Jesus Christ, and in his prayer he talks about the power of God's love in your life. Now, Paul knew something of this guy here, wondering if his life mattered. Paul, the great saint of the New Testament, dealt with moments of real despair in his own life, doubt in his own life. Paul even struggled with backsliding in his own life. That's why I like Paul so much. I see myself in him. In fact, Paul reveals his heart in Romans chapter 7, the struggle that he has for a life that really matters. And I want you to listen in to these words from Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 18. "For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil that I do not want to do, this I keep doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work at me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. In this prayer passage that Paul gives us in Philippians, he is specifically praying that the love of God would accomplish five things in our lives, five tangible properties of a life that is filled with the love of God. And what are they? Continued spiritual growth, a hungering to be more like Jesus Christ. Secondly, the revelation of spiritual insight, learning how to judge what is right and wrong, seeing life from God's perspective. Thirdly, adopting a life of moral integrity, living a life that matters not because we feel like we have to, not because we feel we're threatened into doing it, but because we want to live righteously in the sight of Jesus Christ. Number four, good works. Doing what we do in response to the love of God in our lives, not to have some ulterior motive of trying to get God to love us, trying to impress other people, but responding to the freedom that we found in Christ. And lastly, all of these working together, that God be praised in and through us every day. But Paul does not assume that is easy to accomplish. The second law of thermodynamics tells us, that there is in the universe a constant state of entropy. Entropy meaning this, a process of continual degradation or deterioration of the supernatural powers that are around us. Paul understood that there was a spiritual connection in his life, for he was constantly fighting against a sense of deterioration, a sense of de-evolution in his life, causing him to want to backslide. Here's the challenge that I face, and I bet you face too. Within the heart of every believer is a residue of the old life. Within the heart of every believer is the remnant of the selfish, lower nature that we are all given at birth. But Paul says it's worth fighting against. And his prayer is that the love of God would be God's strength, God's energy exerted through us against that tendency to fall back into the old way of life. The Paul that said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will save me?" is the one that writes in Romans chapter 5 these words of hope and encouragement. He writes, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." Now get this. "And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. But not only so, we also boast, also glory in our sufferings, our struggles." Why? "Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because," and here's the insight from Paul, "God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." If you are a believer, as we claimed last Sunday, there is a supernatural power force in your life just waiting to be released, waiting to be claimed, waiting to be appropriated in your life. And Paul gives a specific name to that strength, that power for your life, and it is the love of God. Now, we're not talking about mere emotions, mere sentimentality that rises and falls depending on our moods, depending on the circumstances of life. But rather, Paul is talking about a constant force of power, a constant force of strength that gives us the capacity to push against the lower nature, push against the residue that would work against us, push against the old life that calls us back. But I like the imagery of Paul. This love is not earned, it's not purchased, it's not manufactured. It is poured into and through us. But that power can only come when we give invitation to it. Are you aware that you are already worthy of the love of God? Are you aware that your life already matters to God? I like the way the skit guy reminded us of Isaiah chapter 49. Your name is imprinted on the hand of the Almighty. Now that imagery works really well for me because on the cross, how was Jesus attached to the cross? His hands, his wrists were actually marked, weren't they? They were literally pierced, weren't they? For you and for me. Paul's prayer is that you would come to accept this love that God has given to you and appropriate it. Let it flow. Rely on it. Claim it. Open your heart. Be excited. Let it give you the confidence to face the challenge that you have right now, knowing that you are not alone. Now, in this prayer from Paul, I believe that he alludes to five aspects, five characteristics of this love in action in your life and mine. They all begin with the letter D, and I'd like for us to look at them very quickly this morning, because this is the gift of God already residing in you if you are a believer. And Paul is saying, let this love grow. Let this love abound. Give this love space. Give this love access to work in and through your life. First of all, God's love is divine. It's not something we manufacture, we earn, we pray up. God says, prays that that God would provide the Philippians a consistent, continual supply of this power force from the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. Godly love is produced by the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. And yet, how many of us as mainline Christians, mainline Methodists, are scared to death of the Holy Spirit? We don't know how to relate to it, him, it, him. Is the Holy Spirit like Casper the Friendly Ghost, just sort of hovering around out there somewhere? Is the Holy Spirit an entity, a neutered entity, or is the Holy Spirit a person? Historic Christianity teaches that the Holy Spirit is God's present tense power now, available now, working now, God's strength exerted through us against the challenges of life. But I'm afraid too many mainline Methodists today are not Trinitarians. We're Binitarians. I hear you praying. I hear you talking about me and Jesus, God and Jesus. Well, it's fine to talk about God, the Father. It's good to talk about Jesus, His only Son. But that's not the whole equation. You're leaving out an entire person of the Holy Trinity. The person, the work, the power, the strength of the Holy Spirit now. Too many of us have given up on the Holy Spirit and let the TV preachers take the Holy Spirit from us. When we deny, when we choose to resist, when we do not embrace the power of the Holy Spirit, we simply say to God, no vacancy. No availability in my life. So Paul begins his prayer for the divine power of God to work in your life when he prays for them that your love, God's love, may abound more and more in your life. Now I'm fortunate in this church that so many of you have been a part of the Walk to Emmaus movement. And if you've been to Emmaus, and I trust your life has been encouraged and changed by it, you learn the prayer of the Holy Spirit. You learn to purposely, constantly, intentionally invite the Holy Spirit into your life to work through you and in you and radiate out of you. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle the hearts of the faithful. Inspire the hearts of the faithful. And kindle in them, who remembers this prayer? the fire of your love. That's a prayer worth praying. If you're a believer, if you've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there is, Paul says, a supernatural source of power waiting for you. God's strength exerted. It is the divine power of godly love. Secondly, this divine power of godly love is the standard, is the reality for the Christian life. It's not just for some and not for others, but rather for all of us. Paul says it's not only there, but give the Holy Spirit the permission to abound that love in you. Not just over there in the corner, but like gushing forth out of your heart, like the beginning of that new love. Do you remember the excitement of first love? Do you remember that your palms got a little sweaty? Remember that? Do you remember that? Do you remember how your pulse raced a little bit? Do you remember how your face even tingled and you blushed a little bit? A little bit? I'm not being silly here, but there is that kind of palpable power that Paul says is available for you if you will pray that God's love will abound in your life and abound in your life onto other people. The sure mark of God's love in your life is how we treat other people. Jesus is so concerned about our interaction with others that he puts salvation on the line when he says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Some people are not easy to love. Say amen. And you might live with him. Some people are just not easy to love. But there is a power of love that is above circumstances. A power of love that says, I will not be dragged back into an old way of living. I am asking the Holy Spirit of God to live as a fact in my life, and I'm going to love him anyway. The third description, the third understanding of love from this prayer of St. Paul is that love is decisive. I wonder how many of us live passive Christian lives. Yeah, you get up and you make a decision. I think I'll go to church today. There's really nothing better to do. I want to go see my friends today, so I believe I'll get up and go to church. Sort of a passive way of living the Christian life versus a decisive way of living the Christian life. God's love is not based on feeling, but a conscious, intentional decision to shine his light, to show kindness, to offer generosity to others. Paul says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love. Decide that that is the street that you are going to take. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. The promise of Philippians chapter 1 is, there is a supernatural power, God's strength exerted on you and exerting through you against all of the challenges of life. It's the gift of God. It is the standard for Christian living. Will you decide to live into that power and give access to God that that power might live through you? Fourthly, God's love is dynamic. It causes a change. How? God's love, as it grows, finds increasing expression in righteous character. Sometime when you're with your best friend, your partner, whoever it is that sees you most clearly, ask the question, am I more like Jesus these days or not more like Jesus these days? as you claim to follow Him, as you claim to invite His presence in your life, is there a change? Is there a difference? How's your temper these days? How's your anger management these days? How's your self-control these days? How's the vocabulary that comes out of your mouth when something accidentally comes up and you don't really have time to process what you're going to say, but you say, son of Sam, whatever. Are you finding you have to put a restraint on your words, or have you found that your vocabulary has changed? Because God's love is dynamic in your life, and God's love is changing your life. St. Paul says, For you were once darkness, but now you are light. Interesting, he does not say you were once in the darkness. He says you were once darkness himself. You were once darkness herself. When God poured the light of His love in your life, you became light itself. The vessel through which the light of Christ actually emanates onto the world. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. And that's the last aspect of God's love working in your life. Real discernment. Discernment is the understanding and application of the real knowledge of God's revelation that produces holy living. St. Paul knew the struggle in his own life against the residue of the former life. And when he was beat and thrown in jail, when he was shipwrecked, when he was talked about, when he was put down, when he was cast out. Yes, even he had moments of real struggle in his life. But he writes to you and me to say you don't have to give in to it. God has a supernatural source of power. God's strength exerting in you and through you that can change everything. His holy love. Now, if I've interpreted this passage as I believe Paul intended it, we've learned that abounding love produces spiritual insight. We see life differently. Spiritual insight produces personal integrity. We live life differently. Personal integrity produces good works. We do what we do not to impress others, not with an ulterior motive, but as a thank offering to the God who has done so much for us. And together these help us live a life of God's praise and glory. Sometime back I found this saying that means a lot to me because St. Paul is determined to connect the head and the heart. It's not enough to know about God until we let what we know change us. When God measures a person, He does not put the tape measure around the person's head, but around the person's heart. Okay, I'm a kid of the 70s and 80s. It was Christmas time. And that wonderful sound that I've got recorded somewhere, the big CBS eye comes on. This is a CBS special presentation. And on comes the voice of Boris Karloff telling the story of the Grinch who stole Christmas. And what was the problem with the Grinch who stole Christmas? His heart was too small. And without knowing it, Dr. Seuss tells the story of supernatural Christian transformation. When the love that that Grinch experienced in Whoville changed everything. And do you remember the primitive graphic from the Grinch Who Stole Christmas's heart that was too small got bigger and bigger and bigger, and then the moment when it bursts the frame and everything changed. And he's on top of Mount Crumpet, and poor old Max, remember, with the single horn on his head, and they take all the presents back because life for him became all about giving. I wonder, what's the size of your heart this day? The hope of St. Paul is your heart can be enlarged. And the supernatural love of God can and will do that for you if you will ask Him to. Based on Philippians chapter 1, I'd like for you to pray with me this prayer that maybe you would adopt for yourself. Lord Jesus, I pray that your love would abound more and more in me, that I might have godly knowledge and depth of insight, that I might honor you by being able to discern what is best, that I may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ Jesus. For God, I want to be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ, that my life might give glory and praise to you. And this is my prayer for myself, great God, and for all of these I love. In Jesus' name, amen. As we conclude our service together this morning, I invite you to find the white connection card. And I invite you to mark in your Bibles Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And if you can, pray that prayer, internalize it, memorize it. There is so much more that God has for you today if you will give Him access to abound in you with His holy love. Maybe today you'd say, John, I really don't know what it means to have a relationship with Jesus. I've heard a lot about Him. I've read a little bit about Him, but I haven't had that heartwarming experience, and I want to have that heartwarming experience. My heart is cold and hardened, and I need Him. I'd be so honored to talk with you about what it means to have a personal relationship with Christ. I'd love to talk with you about what it means to be baptized as the entryway into this community of faith, representing the cleansing power of Jesus shed upon the cross for you and me, that you really can begin new life and come into this mission-minded, diverse, eclectic, loving community of faith and be surrounded by other men and women who want to live a life of faith with you. Maybe you sort of feel isolated and alone, and you'd really like a connection point, a small group Sunday school class that meets right after this service where you can be known by name and learn to have some accountability in your life and associate with other men and women who love the Lord. Maybe you're having a really tough time in your life right now. I'm so glad to say that we have trained women and men in confidential Christian caregiving. They're called our Stephen ministers, who have been trained, who have been commissioned to walk with you through the difficult moments of life and shine the light of hope in the name and spirit of Jesus. I love to pray for you, and I count it a great privilege on Tuesdays to take your prayer requests and call your name before the Lord. I'd like for you to take a minute, and if you'd like to share your heart with me on the bottom of the connection card, is an opportunity for you to share maybe where you're struggling in your life and where you need the love of God to abound in you. As the music plays, I invite you to complete your connection card, then fold it over. It's nobody's business, handled confidentially, and leave it with an usher as you depart from the worship center this morning. I will be honored to call you by name before the Lord. I invite you to rise for the benediction, God's good word for your life, and the seal and the sign of our sure salvation, the cross of Jesus Christ. And now, as always, my friends, May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you. His healing. Somebody needs that word today. His healing and approving smile. And best yet, through whatever circumstances you face, give you peace. Perfect peace. I claim it now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.